third hour we go. It's Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate here on R&R 920 AM. Catch our podcasts up online at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all platforms, including LVSportsNetwork.com and that new app, LVSportsNetwork.com. Raider Nation Radio continues on. Make sure you text the word bikini, B-I-K-I-N-I, to 702-365-9200 to qualify for the Summer of Fun. Brought to you by Planet Nissan. This week's trip, 4 nights, 3 days in London, England. No, Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles, or a $3,000 cash payout. It's up to you. 702-365-9200. You can't win unless you qualify. Text the word bikini now. As Case Kiefer joins us now, assistant sports editor and writer with the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly Magazine, which you can find on newsstands everywhere throughout Southern Nevada, including right outside here at Lotus Broadcasting. Case, thank you for joining us. Hey, real quick, you know, in reading one of your stories in the Sun about how minicamp ended and how the defense looked, you know, we're taking some thoughts on how, you know, for Max Crosby, maybe being in line for a Defensive Player of the Year award, where he's coming off, you know, two last years where he's had, you know, 67 quarterback hits since 2022. He's led the NFL back-to-back years in tackles for losses. Not only is Max Crosby kind of lining up for a Defensive Player of the Year award as he hits his awesome prime, but could you also feel that the Raiders might at least have the best defensive line in the AFC?
I think they're definitely going to be in the conversation. I mean, if those guys stay healthy, to me, the absolute floor is probably like fifth. I think they're going to be top five almost for sure.
Okay.
And as far as Max Crosby, I think there's some serious momentum. It might have been that story or it might have been another. I just know I was linking up to past things I did. And I remember kind of mid-season last year, we got some straw polling data from the voters of where Defensive Player of the Year stood. And Max Crosby was like barely even top 10. I wrote a column at the time saying this is ridiculous just because the Raiders are losing. Max Crosby deserves real Defensive Player of the Year consideration. And then by the end of the year, he was getting it. I mean, there was all kinds of buzz about him. I think, what did he finish? Maybe fourth in the voting.
Yeah, fourth last year, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times in these awards markets, I know it's only supposed to be 1 year, but it really does take that that uphill climb to get voters to start thinking your name. I think he's in a terrific position this year. And if the Raiders eclipse expectations, I think he's got a great chance to win it. I know from a betting perspective, I've seen him as high as 10-1, and to me that might even be a little high. Not necessarily saying I'd say to go bet it, but 10-1 seems a little generous. I think he's definitely in the conversation.
When we talk about that defensive line and how good it has the potential to be, you know, Malcolm Kuntz obviously took a big step forward. We'll see if Tyree Wilson kind of follows suit in his second year. Byron Young is in the mix, Adam Butler, John Jenkins. But then there's the big old dog right in the middle of the defense. And it's been a long time since the Raiders had such a dominant figure on the interior of their defense, and that's Christian Wilkins. When you talk about how good this offense or this defensive line can be, where does he fit into the picture, and what is his biggest impact going to be, do you think?
I mean, he's obviously central to it. It's a two-headed monster now with him and Max Crosby, and I think just that disruption in the middle. I think the writing was on the wall last year that they needed a little bit of help there, but I don't think they were terrible at that position last year. I mean, you had some real good space eaters, and I know some of them are back. John Jenkins, who's going to be important too, and they did some good things against the run, but they didn't really have that game changer there that can make those splash plays and kind of do a little bit of everything. They kind of had parts there moving in and out depending on the situation. I think Christian Wilkins to me is more along the Max Crosby realm, where you can have him in there every play and feel pretty good because he can do it all. I think that's maybe his biggest attribute that I know has been discussed, but maybe not enough of just how good he can be.
Which player on that defensive line do you think benefits the most from having Wilkins and Crosby there?
I'm still really high on Malcolm Kuntz. I feel like we talk about it every week the last few weeks. I mean, to me, I know everyone wants to just assume Tyree Wilson's going to take that big leap. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just kind of I'm not necessarily buying or selling stock on Tyree Wilson. It's just kind of a wait and see to me. To me, we saw what Malcolm Kuntz was capable of late last year, and it seems like he's continued to improve physically. He looked really good in the little bit we got to see in minicamp and OTAs. I think for sure he's going to be a part of this rotation and get his opportunities. And even if you listen to what some of the coaches have said, I think we posed a similar question to one of the assistants, and the first name out of his mouth was Malcolm Kuntz. So to me, I'm just a little bit surer on Kuntz than the other guys that are going to be rotating in, so I'd go with him.
Yeah, I think for the first time in years, there's a certainty to the Raiders' defense, and you feel comfortable in saying, okay, that's going to take care of itself, and it's going to be not only good but potentially great on defense. Offensively, they got a ways to go. They weren't good last year. They couldn't consistently score points. They were bad in the red zone. They were bad on third downs. They just it looked like a struggle all the time. It didn't feel like there was a rhyme or reason to it. Fast forward to now, we saw some of the struggles as they installed Luke Getsy's new offense. It's hard to tell how much of it was on the quarterbacks compared to everyone else just kind of learning a new system, probably a combination of both. What's your, based on what you saw in OTAs and minicamp, what is your level of, what is this offense going to really look like during the regular season level?
Yeah, well, I think we come in with preconceived notions, and I think it's fair. I mean, that's kind of what you do. I think my level of it was pretty high coming in, and still is pretty high. Yeah. And to me, I know, and I think it's valid to look at some other positions and say it's not all on the quarterbacks. But to me, I mean, the quarterbacks do take the biggest piece of that pie. I mean, I feel like they have just such good pieces at a bunch of other positions, even the offensive line. And I know some people are worried about it. I feel pretty good about it. I think I'm higher on probably Thayer Munford than a lot of people, although he had a tough assignment at minicamp, obviously, with Max Crosby, and he didn't necessarily look great. But to me, it just a lot comes down to the quarterback. I know people are sick of talking about quarterback, but it just can either of these two guys get it done is a big question to me. And you can make a strong argument that you haven't seen enough that they're a playoff caliber quarterback. And I think if you saw the recent practices, it's you know, you have to keep it in the back of your mind that it's shorts and everything. But I think it's hard to have watched that and feel like, okay, that they're headed in the right direction. But I guess we'll see once training camp rolls along.
What do you think about the depth on the offensive line, just in case you start incurring some injuries and perhaps relying on a rookie at left guard like Jackson Powers Johnson? If that doesn't materialize as quickly as you want, do you feel like depth is there, or do you feel like it might be still like a moment for you?
Yeah, well, I think that's why, especially the I guess recent acquisitions of Andrew Speed for sure and Cody Whitehair, who we saw running with the starters a lot while Jackson Powers Johnson was out. I think those two guys are going to be big in that regard. Beyond that, I mean, I guess Pete especially is like a swing player. You could put him a lot of places. So I think he's kind of a one-stop shop as far as the depth, but maybe a little bit weak beyond that. It's really hard to know what you have out of like DJ Glaze this early when we haven't seen him in pads. But if there's something he can contribute, if he's ready in his rookie year, then I think you feel really good about the depth. If he's still a little raw and maybe not all that seasoned yet, maybe you're worried you don't have one more guy. But I think you feel pretty confident with at least these seven guys with Whitehair and Pete along with the presumed starters that those guys could get it done.
Case, I think it's safe to say that the Raiders are going to be a heavy 12 personnel usage team. You know, Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers out on the field together. Who do you think we're going to see in terms of those two wide receivers, though? Because I felt like Trey Tucker took a big step forward, and I feel like, you know, he could really flourish in a 12 personnel as that really speed guy in that personnel grouping. That end, when they do go to 11 personnel, which I expect them to do quite often as well, three wide receivers, one tight end, who do you think the tight end is going to be primarily when they go to 11 personnel?
On the latter question, I'd kind of lean Brock Bowers right now. I think we'll see a little bit of both. And this certainly isn't an indictment of how I feel on Michael Mayer, who I thought was going to have a huge year, and I still think could. I still think his promise is really high, but I don't know, just as a receiving option, I think even what little we saw in minicamp, I just think Brock Bowers is another level, a game changer to me. He's going into training camp as the primary tight end, and not that I want to agree on everything, but I feel like we're kind of lock in step with this. I kind of feel like Trey Tucker might be the second guy in that 12 personnel. It seems like some of the short routes, some of the concepts that it seems like Luke Getsy likes to lean on in his offenses and has in the past. It just seems like Trey Tucker is a perfect fit. I know that's a little tough on Jacoby Myers, who did everything and more he was probably expected in his first year with the Raiders. And I think he'll have a role as well, but I don't know. To me, it seems like he's a little bit more of an odd fit, I guess, in the new offense than whereas last year you know, he was brought in because he fit exactly the offense they were running. So I think he's still a very useful player. But to go back to, I guess, my buying stock analogy, I feel like Trey Tucker is the guy that after seeing a little bit of practice, I think he's a guy they want to feature prominently. I think he's a guy that both coaches and teammates have spoken so highly of. So I think the odds of him having a breakout year have only risen in my mind in the last few weeks.
You know, the rigors of a full season for any running back could be a lot, especially for somebody like Zamir White, who'll be taking on a lot of responsibility this year. I think he can handle it. But if it doesn't, do you think that the backfield is strong enough with a mix of maybe Madison and Lobby if it came to that?
Lobby. I'm glad you said that before because I can never get the guy's name right. I think I've said it different every spot I've done anywhere. But, yeah, especially one of those days of practice, Lobby was kind of a guy that stood out to me. He kept looking down at your roster. Oh, who's this guy? Even though you probably should have known if you follow the Raiders, start getting used to these new numbers. He was doing a lot. They were using him in a lot of different ways. Okay. He looked good. I know it's kind of a high bar to expect a sixth-round pick to be a big part of your offense in his rookie season, but I think you got to like what you've seen out of him so far, so maybe there's some promise. Alexander Madison was catching a lot of passes out of the backfield. Maybe he's big in that way. I could still see the argument that, you know, you're a little bit worried depth-wise, but I would say Labe looks good so far, and I think Madison is a solid number two. It's just a question, is Zamir White at number one? And in my mind, he's shown enough to be it, so it's not a position that I have concern with, but I understand when other people bring it up.
He went with the Labe. I like that.
Oh,
the
like Labe. I think that's where it needs to go from now on. We'll pronounce your name the correct way.
Right,
no,
exactly.
We'll pronounce it the way we want.
Right. Chase, or Case. I keep calling you Chase. Jeez. Case, switching gears a little bit. I know that you're a music aficionado, so I want to throw a little bit of a curveball here. But Kendrick Lamar had his pop-out concert last night at the Forum, or yesterday at the Forum. And I don't know how much you follow the beef between he and Drake and the diss tracks and the back and forth. It sure felt like Kendrick, for now, got the last word, singing his diss track five times last night, having guys like, you know, DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook up there dancing with them and all these various stars that were up on stage with them. My question to you is, to whatever extent you have followed this whole thing, is it time for Jake to just throw up the white flag at this point, or do you feel like he's got, you know, some cards up his sleeve as far as this beef goes?
I did not follow the concert last night, so thanks for the update on that. But as far as the beef goes, I mean, throw up the white flag is putting it kindly. I mean, let's just wave off the fight. This was a knockout. I'm a little biased because I'm much more of a Kendrick guy. I just think he's a lot more skilled, a lot more artistic. Not that I dislike Drake necessarily, although I think his output recently has left much to be desired. But yeah, to me, I'm definitely Team Kendrick, and if I was the official, I think this was a knockout. Not even close to me, Kendrick Lamar.
Well, if you're scoring at home, that's a fifth round knockout.
Let's just say that he took one on the chin last night. It was a straight knockout. Like, you got to go watch that concert to see exactly what happened. So crazy.
I'll definitely check out some clips now.
All right, we'll be remiss if we didn't ask you kind of like the question that was been rolling around the week. And, you know, let's just put it all aside. Let's say the Cowboys and Dak Prescott never come to terms on a new contract and he becomes a free agent. And at the same time, the Raiders don't get the desired results from Aiden O'Connell in 2024, and he doesn't look like the long-term answer. At what point do you start rolling out the dough in the Brinks truck for Dak Prescott to come to Las Vegas? What are your thoughts on Dak as a free agent? But at the same time, what would it look like in this offense, especially with somebody like Antonio Pierce, who wants to win now?
Yeah, I mean, it's an extremely tough decision, obviously, just because of the money involved. To me, talent-wise, it's not as hard of a decision. I've always been, and I'm probably going to get some hate for this because I know a lot of people aren't, but I've always kind of been a big Dak guy.
Same.
Somehow underrated for all that he's done. I mean, so much of this comes down to situation and where you land. And I know he's had some bad games in big spots, but look at his overall numbers. They compare with just about anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of their elimination games, the defense has just totally crumbled. Just look mm-hmm. at something as basic as the points given up in those playoff games.
Yep.
So he's not as old as you might think, too, for as long as he's been in the league. I think he's only going to be 31 next year. So I'm not saying it's an emphatic slam dunk. You want to give away just hundreds of millions of dollars long-term, whatever it's going to sign him. But I'm certainly on the yes side that if this doesn't work out, you got to at least look into it. And I don't think it would be a bad move at all.
Great stuff, Case. Thanks again for coming on today. We appreciate it. Wish you all the best. We'll talk to you again next time.
Sorry to Dylan. I just can't get that name right. Dylan Raiders running back. Apologies.
LaBe is great, man.
Number 23, I think, is fine. Yeah, I think LaBe is French for 23.
I'm sure, and I'll talk to him about this, but I obviously Bonsignor, and you just look at the name, and it's very intimidating, and I've heard every iteration of it. Growing up, some more ridiculous than others. So I understand it. I'm sure he totally gets the fact that, you know, people are just going to have a difficult time with the last name and probably see what they want to see when it comes to the name. So no harm, no foul.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks again, Case Kiefer, Las Vegas Sun. Hey, I'd love to have him come out and say it's pronounced Dylan. Not Dylan. Island. You guys are getting it wrong. Raider Nation Radio. You know, Case brings up a good point of like, all right, listen, especially for that defensive line, like can you find weaknesses there? But maybe because of Wilkins' addition now, that you now can be really confident that if you're able to have a run stopper and, you know, and more depth at that spot, that this could be one of your best defensive lines in the AFC. I mean, at least to push it up to the top five. But this is also a defensive line that that can attack the quarterback. Now that you can stop the run, could this be something that, you know, that we feel like could each game and game out can be your most consistent force?
Yes, without question. I think it all starts up front for the Raiders defense. And they're not shabby whatsoever behind them when you're talking about the linebackers and the safeties and the cornerbacks. We'll see, you know, who ends up emerging, you know, between Ja'Corian Bennett and Brandon Faison over at that other cornerback spot. But either one, I think, is going to be able to hold down the fort and play well enough, especially with the composition of the defense the way it is in and around them. So, it all starts up front. And when you talk about – really, the only question is how good can the depth be? I think the starting unit of Max Crosby, Christian Wilkins, John Jenkins, and Malcolm Butler is excellent to start off with. And I think Adam Butler is somebody that you could totally count on as a rotational piece on the interior of the defensive line. So now it becomes, hey, Byron Young, are you ready to take a step forward? Tyree Wilson, are you ready to take a step forward? If both of those guys do, then you have three capable guys, and maybe in Tyree's case, a potential star in the making because he's got that kind of a skill set coming off the bench as your rotational players. And don't forget Janoris Robinson, who earned his way onto the field last year. And I think somebody that I'm not going to sit here and say they have extremely high hopes for, but certainly as a rotational defensive end pass rusher, somebody that has the necessary speed and size and strength and all those type of things to be able to give you some credible snaps during the course of a game. And if he can, be able to provide that along with Tyree, along with Byron Young, we haven't even mentioned Matthew Butler or Nestor Jade Silvera. We'll see what the Raiders have in those players. But yeah, if the young players can provide serious depth and credible snaps, then this defensive line has a chance to be exceptional, not just good or great, but exceptional.
Yeah, I would love to see Byron Young kind of like being able to maybe spell Christian Wilkins from time to time. And you brought up Butler and Nesta Jade Silvera. Like, could they actually go and be like those depth pieces where it's like you could count on them to go and just do some of the simple relief duties that are expected? Because we saw a lot of Patrick Graham, rotations where guys were popping out. He likes to do that, and they did that with John Jenkins and Adam Butler. That worked very effectively last
year. You really
year.
Have to because, and especially not knowing exactly what you're going to get from the offense. Is it going to be a struggle again for them this year, which means elevated snap counts for the defense to have to defend throughout courses of games? And now you're really going to need that depth, especially on that defensive line, to be able to spell guys, to be able to make sure that Max Crosby isn't dealing with some of the issues that he dealt with physically last year. So that he's good to go at end of games and toward the latter part of the season. And same with Christian Wilkins. Part of the perseverance and the game of attrition that occurs in football mitigate that is by having great depth pieces or solid depth pieces behind them so that you can cut some corners, but save them. Be able to have them over there on the sidelines resting up and maintaining their level of juice. Because you're okay with bringing in guys like a Tyree Wilson, like a Byron Young, like a Nesta Jade Silvera, like a Janoris Robinson that you feel okay with on the field while you're resting your star player. So That depth is going to be a huge key, and it's going to be necessary to me for this defensive line throughout the course of the season, to be the best version of itself.
We have a plethora of texts that we will get to coming up next here on Raider Nation Radio, 702-365-9200. Love the stuff. We'll get to them on the other side here on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, are you in a situation right now where you need some cash, like right now? Maybe you need $500 to $5,000 immediately, and maybe the credit cards have been maxed out, or maybe the credit's not where it needs to be. Don't sweat it and don't worry, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly, and all credit types are welcome. Now cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now, so why wait? Go over to LendingStore.com, that's LendingStore.com, and let them help you find a lender that could get you $500 to $5,000 as early as tomorrow. Just head over to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Off it to the end zone. Open receiver. Tucker bobbles it. Caught it. Touchdown, Raiders. It looked like he bobbled it on first glance in the back right corner. He caught it. He flips. Raiders in control here in the first.
We got Trey Tucker split out to the right. Carter goes in motion. O'Connell's going to throw on first down. Throws over the middle. Deep into the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown, Trey Tucker. He was coming across the goal line. And the rookie has his second touchdown of the half. And the Raiders have 41 in the first 30 minutes.
Raiders Radio Network with the call. Jason Horowitz, Lincoln Kennedy, back here on Raider Nation Radio at the Morning Tailgate. Let's get your thoughts. Phone calls lining up, 702-365-9200. Vinny and Clay on your Thursday. Mixed emotions and reactions. Even dipping your toe into the Dak Prescott sweepstakes draws the ire of Raider Nation. Sonny in the 731 saying, since Dak has been in the NFL, he's had better teams than the Raiders. So why would him switching jerseys automatically make him winning playoff games with the Raiders? This is insane. Sonny is not happy. Buzz in the 808, my Cowboy friends don't even want Dak on their team.
Well, they're idiots.
And then you got 913.
What do they want to do? Where do they want to turn to?
Hey,
Trey Lance.
They love that Trey Lance.
Come on, Cowboy fans. Do you not know what you have in your quarterback?
Cooper Rush. He'll surprise you.
If you eventually keep chipping away, they'll get to the playoffs and make their move. I mean, the first part of the whole process is to get to the playoffs. By the way, I would contend the Raiders roster is better than the Cowboys roster right now.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you expect Dak to...
What are people not seeing that part of the argument?
I don't see how any way Dak can replicate last year's stats this year with the kind of crew that he's working with right now.
If you put him on this team with Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers, what we're talking about with Trey Tucker, a run game that I think is going to be better than people think with Zamir White and the intentionality that the Raiders are going to have to run the ball.
Two dynamic
tight ends. They led the league in scoring last year with, I think, offensive personnel that isn't as good as what the Raiders have this year. And certainly the defense for the Raiders this year, I think, is going to be superior to what the Cowboys have this year. This is a good team. That's my entire point, the crux of my point, is that you would be adding a top 10 quarterback to a really good team. This isn't adding, you know, the whole Derek Carr top, you know, he's cracked the top 10 before in his career, but even at that, his numbers on third downs and red zone, they're always left something to be desired. When it got right down to it, in key critical moments, there were some numbers that you just didn't really like with Derek Carr. And I think it played a role in certain things. But this isn't adding Derek Carr to 2020, you know, those rosters. We're talking about an entirely different roster night right now for the Raiders. This would be the time to strike with a quarterback that you believe that has statistically shown that he's a top 10 quarterback. This would be the perfect time. There isn't, not you know, you're not always set up to spend the money that is required to get a top 10 quarterback if they're available. You're not always set up to do that. Sometimes it's not the right move at that particular time because there's so many other holes that you have on your roster. That's no longer the case with the Raiders, which is why I'm arguing now is the time, if you do have certainty, even above maybe trading up to go get Shakur Sanders or Carson Beck from Georgia, who right now are just great unknowns. If you have the ability to go get a top 10 quarterback, a proven, consistently top 10 quarterback like a Dak Prescott coming off the best year of his career, my goodness. Why? Of course, you should absolutely be thinking along those lines because you want to maximize what you've built in terms of the rest of the roster, which is a playoff, and with that defense and with some of the weapons that they have, championship caliber roster. It really is. I mean, you look at what they have, it's damn good.
It's something to say, like, look at what the plan has been, and it's been working. All you need to add is one more piece to that equation.
And thank you for that, because that had been the plan. When you know, it obviously didn't work out with Ziegler, but the plan was move on from Derek Carr, who they lost faith in, mm-hmm. to be anything more than
what he is, what he showed.
What he was, mm-hmm. right. Just keep building the roster, and then at some point add a quarterback, whether it's through the draft by being able to trade up, or you know, you're fortunate to have landed a quarterback in the draft, or by adding a free agent, a quarterback, a proven commodity, not just throwing your money at anybody, but a proven commodity, and that's what the plan has been, and they've been executing that plan over the last couple of years with the drafts that they've had and some of the free agent additions they have, to the point where they are now in a place where. Go get the best quarterback that you could possibly get, and the possibility of something special happening it's not a pipe dream; it is a reality.
Yeah, and when you have that window open, you have to find ways to go and maximize it. Maybe Aiden O'Connell is that guy.
Could be,
and that's what you really want to hope. As you know, as Raider Nation, you pin your hopes to, like, hey, that's having a guy on a deal like Aiden O'Connell is right now. That's how good teams become great. Having that kind of flexibility and having that kind of that kind of star power and a guy that like Aiden O'Connell could be, well, yeah, that's what you hope for. That's what you wish for. But if not, then what? 702-365-9200 in San Jose is Robert waiting patiently. Thank you for doing so. Good morning.
Good morning, Clay, Vinny. As I was telling Clay, I survived Chicago. Very interesting place. Craziest drivers I've ever seen. I thought Boston was the worst, but Chicago is another level.
Yeah, what was something that stood out to you about Chicago?
Well, we're on Lakeshore Drive, right almost in front of Soldier Field,
oh, yeah.
And this guy stops on the shoulder, and they drive on the shoulder in the streets and on the freeway out
Always.
There.
Yes.
He stops on the shoulder. He's got his rear bumper in his back seat. Puts on his emergency lights, adjusts the bumper in his back seat, puts five of the cars behind him on the shoulder, and then continues on.
Well, that shows attention to detail to the back bumper.
Yes. Yes. I even told a Chicago police officer, you guys are the worst drivers I've ever seen. You drove like that in L.A. or Oakland, you have bullets coming your way.
Oh, and in Chicago PD, they're like, hey, thanks for that. That's a compliment.
Exactly. On the quarterback, I think, Vinny, a problem some people are having in terms of Dak Prescott, he's a good quarterback. I'll say that. I'm not a Dak hater. But when it comes to paying someone $60 million a year, I expect that guy to be able to put the offense on his back in the playoffs and win a game for me. And I haven't seen Dak do that. I haven't seen him put the Cowboys' offense on his back and win a game. And I
what other quarterbacks do that? Like take Patrick Mahomes out of it. What quarterback does that?
You're right. Outside of Patrick Mahomes, nobody does that. And Patrick Mahomes is
does Brock Purdy do that?
Risen. No. And that's one of the reasons a lot of 49er fans but Peter are having issues of wanting to pay him.
They're insane. Of course you pay Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Look at his statistics. In the red zone, it was the best in the NFL last year. This whole thing about carrying the team, and how about just being really good in the areas you need to be good at to win games? Third downs, red zone, scoring drives, being efficient, not turning the ball over. That's great quarterback play. The whole thing like, oh, my God, if everything goes bad, we got to be able to – you have to carry us. That rarely happens. You have to be good in the areas. You have to be good in the critical areas. And Dak is good in those areas, as is Brock Purdy. You pay Brock Purdy. If there's a 49er fan out there that is not willing to pay Brock Purdy, what the hell are you watching?
Well, it's an issue. It's one of the things that the reason they haven't signed Brandon Ayuk as of yet is that they're going to have to pay Brock Purdy.
Right, and they planned for that by drafting two wide receivers this year. They understand that that's coming.
The 49ers organization understands.
Are 49er fans up there saying they'd rather have Brandon Ayuk than Brock Purdy?
Excuse me?
Are 49ers fans complaining that they'd rather have Brandon Ayuk than Brock Purdy?
They're not. They're concerned about once, and history shows us, once you pay the quarterback that $55 million a year, $50 million a year, the rest of your team kind of deteriorates a little bit. And that's what history has shown us over the last decade or so, outside of Pat Mahomes. And every quarterback that's gotten that kind of money, their teams have not, again, outside Kansas City, have gone all the way and
well, it's tough to thread the 1 of 32 needle, but we're talking about consistently get the 49ers, even with Jimmy Garoppolo being paid a lot of money, got to NFC Championship games and the Super Bowl. He should have been to two Super Bowls. And I don't even sit near. I think Dak Prescott is a way superior quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo. But we're talking about is your team relevant? Is it getting to the playoffs? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you falling off the face of the earth? Name me the quarterbacks that are getting paid big money where their teams fell off the earth because you paid them the big money. Forget about Super Bowls, winning the Super Bowl. It's only going to be one a year. Are you knocking on the door? Are you challenging in your division? Are you getting to the playoffs? Are you putting yourself in a position to do those special things? What team has fallen off the face of the earth after paying their quarterback?
No one has fallen off necessarily the face of the earth, but as I said, Patrick Mahomes has spoiled everyone and has altered everyone's view of what it takes to win. He's so good that everyone is looking at him and saying, well, we want our guy to do that, and it's just not going to happen. In terms of Aiden O'Connell, it's hard to tell what this offense is going to look like until pads come on, as you said, Vinny, and you have a running game. I don't think the Raiders are going to be counting on Aiden O'Connell to throw the ball 40 times. We want to run the ball 40 times. We want to have an offense similar to what San Francisco 49ers are doing. And that's another reason people up here are saying, well, Brock Purdy's not that, you know, he's not the main focus. It's the running game. And once you pay him Trevor Lawrence money, then what's going to happen to the rest of the team? That's what fans are thinking about.
My money is on Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch doing what you got to do to rebuild around. Those guys are really good at what they do. And you have to count on Tom Telesco and Antonio Pierce being really good at what they do if you had to go out and pay a quarterback. And by the way, just to remind people, if you're talking about rookie years and this and that, Dak Prescott, first year, Cowboys were 13-3, threw 23 touchdowns compared to 4 interceptions, had a quarterback rating of 104.9. I think he was the AP, was he the rookie of the year? Or some, he won some awards as well. It's not like he's been sixth in the MVP award. From the get-go, Dak Prescott has been a really good quarterback. And I have questioned the Cowboys' coaching and some of their personnel decisions with Jerry Jones being in charge. This guy's been a good quarterback from day one in the NFL. We're here talking about Aiden O'Connell, which, again, he can change all of this talk, all of this narrative. But really, if you're looking at starting points, and Dak Prescott was picked in what round, Clay?
Yeah, he was out there, man. He was not a first-round pick. That's a fourth-rounder.
Yeah, which is the same round that Aiden O'Connell was picked. I know there were a couple of issues that, you know, that probably why Dak fell in that draft, an incident, you know, before the draft. But they got drafted basically in the same round, had the same kind of starting point. And Dak Prescott from day one was in the MVP consideration in the NFL. So I just, you know, I if you're a Raider fan, you're hoping for the best with Aiden O'Connell, obviously. But this notion that that it's impossible to build around your quarterback that's making a lot of money, well, number one, the Kansas City Chiefs have proven that. The Buffalo Bills are always in contention. The Cincinnati Bengals, when Joe Burrow gets back healthy, is going to be in contention. Every great team has shown that you can be relevant and be knocking on the door. The Rams are doing it right now with Matthew Stafford. The 49ers, I think, will with Brock Purdy, and you definitely pay Brock Purdy. You got to be nuts if you're thinking not to pay Brock Purdy. That's ludicrous.
Unless you feel like you can go and find the last player in the draft again to be a
right, exactly. How lucky were you to get him to begin with? You hold on to that.
Robert, a great call, man. Thank you for doing so. Have a great day. Robert in San Jose, fantastic stuff. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back and read some more thoughts from you on the text line, 702-365-9200. It's The Gate.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
Great participation on the text line and phones. Thank you so much for doing so. From the text from Kevin in the 415, he says, you can't argue with paying Dak Prescott that money. Even when you see Lawrence, Cousins, and even Herbert getting paid, the last two, they have one playoff win between them. Dak has at least won multiple playoff games. I would back the Brinks truck up for him. And then Damon Oakland adds, you know, it's funny how stats can be deceiving. How funny how stats lie. All those stats you choose to read sound great, but Dak still watched the Super Bowl from his couch. And all the red zone stats, some of those quarterbacks, they also watch it from the couch too. Dak has been on stacked teams, but he has blanked his pants in the playoffs. If I could wave a magic wand, it wouldn't be for Dak.
He hasn't, though, in the
playoffs. It's 50-50. Everybody has like a yes and a no to this.
His numbers are solid in the playoffs. So, I mean, I was just looking at him compared to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has played downright bad, and all the statistics show that. And I love Lamar Jackson.
Right, right.
Compared to Dak. Dak's numbers have been really good, in the playoffs, and in some cases, pretty darn good. So, I don't know. I don't get it. If you have a chance to really improve, to go get a top 10 quarterback, that's something that you have to consider. Now, the hope is for Raider Nation and the Raiders that one of Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, just definitively shows, no, you don't need to go down that road. And that is still certainly a possibility. But one of those two quarterbacks has to first win the job. We don't even know who is going to win the job. And you're talking about not wanting to sign Dak Prescott over Aiden O'Connell, who hasn't won the job yet.
It's nothing for certain there. Yeah. We don't even know if he'll hit the field and when he'll hit the field. He still has to beat out Minshew. Podcast page, lvsportsnetwork.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. For Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Eisen, he's next.